Exodus chapter 34. Let's see what it says in this text. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once in worship. "Lord," he said, "if I had found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance." Again, we were asking a question this morning, when do you stop saying Happy New Year? I don't know the answer to that, but I want to start off by saying once again, Happy New Year. As I shared last week on New Year's Eve, I genuinely hope and pray that 2018 is your finest year yet. I pray that you grow closer to God. I pray that you will enjoy enriching relationships with your loved ones. I pray that you will experience good financial health and success on your jobs or at your schools. I am praying for God's abundant blessings to grab a hold of you and never let go. Last week, I shared with the church that I am praying and hoping that 2018 is a year that we deepen. That we deepen our love and our relationship with God and deepen our love and relationship with one another. I said that I hope that 2018 is a year that we develop leaders, that we develop as disciples of Jesus Christ, that we invest time and money and energy and resources into our lives so that we can be the very best disciples and leaders that God wants us to be. I also said that 2018 needs to be a year of discovery, a year where we taste and see what God is doing, and we look at what God is doing in our lives, in the lives of others in this community, in this country, in this world. And I also said that I hope that 2018 is a year of decision making, that we decide that we want to be God's chosen people, that we want to be active in what he is doing in the world, that we want to be active in sharing the message of Jesus Christ and sharing our gifts and our resources with others who are in need. I'm praying that 2018 is a year that we go deeper, that we develop, that we discover, and that we decide. And so, church, I have been contemplating over the past month about what to preach starting at the beginning of this year. It has been my practice over the past several years that about November, beginning of December, I actually plan out the following year. I usually have at this point at least the first half of the year all planned out in terms of sermon themes and titles. But I shared last week that last year was just a year that it was a struggle for me. It was a struggle for me professionally. There was just a lot of things on my plate. And as such, just didn't really get around to developing a six-month plan. It is my hope and prayer that over the next couple weeks, I will spend some time developing a calendar in terms of sermon topics and themes for the remainder of the year. at moments, I have to, you know, tell you, and I think I shared this a little bit last week, I was on the verge of just burnout, just didn't have anything to give. But God is so good, and he offered me moments of refreshing and renewal. My trip to South Africa last year was one of those moments where I got to see God's beauty, got to be on the African continent, and that was just a moment of just renewal and refreshment for me. But again, just haven't had the inspiration to plan like I have. I have talked about and mentioned to several of you that this year we want to be intentional about prayer. We really want to dig in into being a church dedicated to prayer. Not just a church that prays every so often, but a church that is dedicated to prayer. And so 2018, I'm also challenging and declaring that this is going to be a year where we spend 365 days in continual prayer. That has already begun. Last week, there were people in this building every day of last week praying in this building, and that's going to continue. One of the struggles that I'm having as we plan this 365 days, I'm trying to create a sign-up sheet, because I would love everyone in here to be involved in this movement of prayer. But the hard thing is trying to figure out what's a consistent time, or should we have a consistent time, or should it be just here? So I'm still working those things out. In the meantime, typically every evening, this week at around 7:15, there is someone here in the prayer room praying. And so I invite you to come and spend some time in prayer with the body. And when we fully develop the sign-up sheet, I'll get that out. But we want to spend every day of this year in prayer. So coming up with preaching themes and topics is fueled by my prayer life. That's where I start. I start with conversation with God about what it is that you need for me to say and speak and to go. It's also fueled by observations and simple things in life, like things that you see when you go shopping. So last week I was in Hobby Lobby. How many people go to Hobby Lobby? I like Hobby Lobby. There's a nice big one on Broad Street now. I was in Hobby Lobby and I was looking to score some after Christmas sale items, you know, some wrapping paper and some decorations that are 90% off. You know, usually first week in January, you got 90% off. As I was walking through the store, I was browsing through some of the home decor. I came upon a wall hanging, and here's a picture of what I saw. It's a wall hanging that had a quote that says, "When you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence." Church, I believe that it was one of those God moments where I stood in front of this wall hanging, and I probably stood there for about 5 minutes. And I took it off the rack, and I looked at it, and then I put it back. Then I got on my phone to see, like, where did the quote come from? And, you know, it's unattributed, so we don't know who said the quote, it's author unknown. But I looked at it and I wanted to buy it and I didn't buy it. I might go back and buy it, but I walked out the store. I didn't even buy anything because my heart, my mind was just, it was just suspended in that thought. When you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. And the origin of the quote isn't as important to me as what that quote just entails. The quote highlights a core principle in the life of all humanity. At its basic level, this quote alludes to the power of sharing. A church, isn't this what we teach our children from an early age? To share. If I was to just throw out a bag of candy to one of you and just say, here's a bag of candy, I would imagine that, especially in this body, that your natural instinct would be to when you open it up, is to take a piece of that candy and then share it with others. My kids know that there are a few things that just send me through the roof, but at the top of their list of the things that would just send me through the roof is when they do not share. Sharing is part of the Christian life. Sharing is as Christian as praying and singing praises to God. And perhaps the reason that sharing is so much a part of our experience as Jesus followers is because we have been the recipients of so many blessings. Church, God has given us so much, and if we took inventory of all that we have, I believe that we would conclude that we have more than enough. Which brings us back to the quote, when you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence. That is to say, when you have so much, don't build something that keeps others away from your stuff. Build a table, add chairs, add more place settings, and invite others to share in that blessing. So the motivation to share is not the stuff we possess, but rather the one that affords us the opportunity to possess all that we have. Church, a long time ago, God rescued a people who were enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. He rescued the people called the children of Israel. And after their rescue, they traveled through the desert and God took care of them. But there came a time when their leader on earth, Moses, was away with God and the people grew weary and they were afraid. They summoned Aaron, who was Moses' brother, to build them an idol. And so Aaron made two golden calves, and the children of Israel who had just given loud worship and praise to God for rescuing them out of Egypt, for taking them through the Red Sea, they got on the other side of the Red Sea and they began to sing and dance and worship God, and God is the only one. Oh, Jehovah, we love you. And they were singing and they were happy and all of this. The people who had just done that, just a few miles away from that event, they got scared and they began to worship these golden calves. And God, seeing this worship of these idols, he was ready to destroy the people. But after Moses intervened, God relented from destroying them. And when we get to Exodus chapter 34, we see God instructing Moses to chisel laws on two tablets. He had destroyed the first tablets that God had established, and Moses were to chisel on these new tablets. It was in this moment that God revealed his character and his nature to Moses. Chapter 34, verse 5, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord. The Lord is the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This is the character of God. The people of God are reminded of this character throughout the narrative of the Old Testament. You will find this description of God in the Psalms. You will find it in the prophets. You'll find it in the stories of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. All observant Jews memorize this description. They would repeat it at dinner times and in other times of the day. It was recited often. And the purpose for the constant reminder of this character is that the people of God were to understand that they were connected to a God who was compassionate. God cares. God sympathizes. God empathizes. The Jesus coming to earth, which is we call the incarnation, Jesus coming to live among us, was one of the ways that God ultimately demonstrated his compassion for humankind. God is gracious. God gives, and then he gives, and then he gives some more, and then he gives again, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives. That's God's character. God is slow to anger. Get this. God does get angry. But he's slow to anger. It takes a lot. He's not quick-tempered like a lot of us are. God abounds in love. God is love and has always been that way. God has been love from in the beginning to the end and everywhere in between. And this God is our God, a God who gives and gives and gives. And we have more than enough. So with a God like this, and with all that we have, building a fence to keep people out, it's just not an option. Building a bigger table is the way for the people of God to express that we want others to be beneficiaries of God's greatest gifts. Building a bigger table is the way to say we want others to experience God's grace and his compassion and his forgiveness and his love. Building a bigger table is our way of saying, come and experience God. Every man, every woman, every child from every nation and every tribe and every tongue from every part of this planet. Building a bigger table is our way of saying that God is so great, and his grace and his love and his compassion is so great that no disposition is disregarded. Everyone is welcome at the table. By sharing God's grace, we are building a bigger table, a longer table. We need to look no further than the example of Moses here. As I alluded to earlier, God was in the position to destroy Israel for their rebellion, for their worship of this other idol. God was prepared to destroy Israel for their sinful behavior. And after God saw the people worshiping the golden calves, this is what he said in chapter 32. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. And now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. God was prepared to share all of his blessings exclusively with Moses. Knowing how extravagant God's grace was, Moses pleaded with God to extend grace, those blessings, toward the people. So continuing in chapter 32, verse number 11, but Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountain and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. The Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses could have very easily accepted the offer from God to make him into a great big nation, that he would be the sole beneficiary of God's blessing. But instead of building a fence, he built a bigger table. He pleaded with God to extend his grace, his love, his compassion and forgiveness to the sinful people of Israel. Church, it was out of this episode that God revealed his true character and nature. He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And given that we live in a world where we are prone to be rebellious and disobedient and defiant and disregarding of the ways of God, we need a God who is loving, who is slow to anger, who is compassionate and who is gracious. And most of us in here have accepted and received God's gift of grace. We have been saved by God, rescued by God, cleansed by God, redeemed by God. He has given us everything we need and more. And with this disposition of God's blessing, it is imperative that we share this blessing with others. It is incumbent upon us to build a larger table and invite others to the table of God's grace and mercy. Building a bigger table harmonizes with the ministry of Jesus and his call to his disciples to go and make disciples. The heart of Jesus was one that was about building tables, not fences. It's one of the reasons that when you read the Gospels, where do you see Jesus most often? At a table. You see him at a table eating with people. You see him at a table eating with friends. You see him at a table eating with enemies. You see him at a table eating with the worst of sinners. You see, Jesus was about building bigger tables. So building a longer table, not building a fence, harmonizes with the heart of Jesus. Jesus preached the good news and directed his followers to preach the good news. The good news is that the Lord is compassionate, that he is gracious, that he is slow to anger and abounding in love. And this God wants to be the God of everyone, regardless of race, regardless of culture, regardless of your sin type. All of us have done something rebellious. All of us have done something sinful. All of us live in some messes. All of us need good news. And so Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 3, reading from the Message. Paul writes, "But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us out of sheer generosity." Church, that's grace. "He put us in a right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ." God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public, to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so potentially endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his righteousness. Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and fallen short, and all are made right through Jesus Christ. This is the gift of God. This is grace. Church, we have all we need and more. And with all we have through God's grace, it is our goal to say we refuse to build a fence, and we intend to tear down any fences that we have built to keep people out, to protect our stuff. Over the next several weeks, we're going to explore this theme of sharing God's grace, sharing God's gathering, sharing God's gifts, and sharing God's globe. This is our call as followers of Jesus. And in many of our lives, we have built up fences and walls to protect what we have. That's not the call of Jesus' followers. The call of Jesus' followers is to tear down those walls, to not build up any new walls or fences, and to build a bigger table, a longer table. So we commit to tear down any existing fences and build a bigger table for everyone to come and enjoy God's grace. Building a bigger table is our way of telling everyone that there is a party going on. It will be a good party. It will be a lively party. There's going to be laughs. There's going to be food. There's going to be a good time. But it will be better if you're a part of it. Is there room in our hearts? Is there room in our hearts to share God's grace? Grace is the greatest gift and the best news to ever be presented in the history of the world. When we are all gathered at the table, Jesus is our gracious host. And he might even say, in the words of author Frederick Buechner, who once wrote, "Here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you." When we have more than we need, don't build a higher fence. Build a longer table. I pray that that is embodied by the people of God. I pray that that's embodied by the Reynoldsburg Church. I pray that we would expand our hearts for those who are currently not sitting at the table. That we will have a heart to go out into our worlds, our collective worlds, wherever our spheres of influence are, that we will go out and that we would say, you need to come be a part of God's grace. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about sharing God's gathering. We live in a very, very affluent society. Even the poor among us in our society, we're rich. And we have a lot of resources. Now we can go build a storehouse and go put all our stuff in a storehouse and build a metal fence around it, electric fence around it, so no one can touch it. Or we can say, I have more than enough. I'm going to open my storehouses and I'm going to share these gifts that God has given to me. We represent a piece of the globe, but the whole globe doesn't belong to us. And so in a few weeks, you know, we're going to hear presentations from those who go to Guyana and those who go to Honduras, and they're going to talk about how going to other parts of the globe is part of this theme of sharing and building a bigger table. And so may you, in your own life, take inventory of all that you have. Take inventory of all that you have, all your money, all your possessions, all the grace and compassion and love that you have in your life. May you not intend to protect that by building a fence, but may you live out of the character of God, who is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. And may you build a bigger table. Is that all right, church? Let's pray. God, thank you for your love and your kindness and your grace. And for being this consistent God all throughout the history of humankind. You have always been a God that has compassion. You've always been a God that's gracious and gives. You've always been a God that's slow to anger. You've always been a God that is faithful and loving and forgiving. So God, because we possess that in our lives as Jesus followers, it is our intention to share that good news, to share that grace with everyone that we come into contact with. God, help us to expand our hearts and our willingness to share our gifts. Father, you are so loving and so giving. God, I'm praying that you would move us right now to a place of contemplation where we really begin to take inventory of all that we have. And God, move us in such a way that we would be like the first group of Jesus' followers that we read about in the book of Acts, who the first expression, their first outpouring expression of being a Jesus follower, the first thing they did was they shared with one another. God, forgive us when we have been stingy. Forgive us when we have held back giving and sharing. Forgive us, and now bless us and move us to tear down fences and to build bigger tables. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone needs compassion. Everyone needs God. We're going to sing a song that communicates that. That God is the Savior of all and wants to be the Savior of all. And God has chosen us to be his witnesses and his communicators of that truth. And so I pray that we would leave this place intending to share that good news with everyone we come into contact with. While we're singing this song, if there's something that we can do for you by way of prayer or being with you and surrounding you, if there's something that you need to get off your heart, if there's something you need to confess, if there's something that you need to share with the body of Christ because you need us to be in partnership with you because you're struggling with something, we want to give you that opportunity. If this is the time that one of you wants to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you want to profess faith in him, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. Let's stand. Let's sing.